Welcome back to the Fulton County Gospel News Podcast. My name is Barry Odell, and I am your host. Fulton County Gospel News is a bimonthly publication of The Church of Christ in Mammoth Spring, Arkansas. And if you'd like to learn more about the paper, visit our website, mammothspringchurchofchrist.com, and there you can find all the information you need. You have all of our contact information there. So if you'd like to get the paper, you can get it as a PDF in your email or as a hard copy in the United States Postal Service. Call us, send us an email, contact us on Facebook, whatever you want to do, and we will get you added to that mail list. Also, if you've not yet subscribed to our Podbean channel, go to podbean.com, search for Fulton County Gospel News, and become a subscriber. All right, so today I want to read to you the third and final article from the May-June 2023 edition of the paper, where this is the wrap-up edition of our expose on Reformed Theology and Calvinism. And this particular article I wrote, this one is entitled, Your Evangelism is Useless. In the Westminster Confession of Faith of 1646, which is a significant man-made document in Reformed theology, we read, By the decree of God, for the manifestation of His glory, some men and angels are predestinated unto everlasting life, and others foreordained to everlasting death. These angels and men, thus predestinated and foreordained, are particularly and unchangeably designed, and their number is so certain and definite that it cannot be either increased or diminished. This statement is from chapter 3 on God's eternal decree. Please pay attention to the specificity of the claims. The numbers of the saved and the lost are so certain and unchangeable that they cannot be either increased or diminished. Mark recorded these words of Jesus, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16:15-16. Why? What's the point? If the number of the saved has been determined from all eternity, and if that number is unalterable, there is no point in sharing the gospel. The gospel is God's power unto salvation. Romans 1:16. Faith is produced not by a direct operation of the Holy Spirit, but by hearing the gospel. Romans 10:17. The wayside soil in Jesus' parable of the sower is a perfect example of this reality. The seed is the word of God. Luke 8:11. There are some who, when they hear the gospel, will reject it. For example, when Paul went to Antioch of Pisidia, there were some who rejected the gospel. After seeing the Jewish rejection to the preached gospel, Paul said, It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Acts 13:46. This audience was responsible for rejection of the gospel, not because of the predestined plan of God to send them to hell. Rather, it was because they were, quote, filled with envy, and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Acts 13:45. There is a Sovereign Grace Community Church in my local community. I've talked with the pastor on a few different occasions, and he holds to Reformed theology. I know what he believes. I know the doctrines of Reformed theology and Calvinism. This church has a banner on the front of their building that says the following, True love cares enough to speak and live the truth. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, Colossians 1:28, till we all come to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, Ephesians 4:13. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples, John 15:8. You are welcome at Sovereign Grace Community Church, end quote. Remember the doctrines to which this type of church holds. They may have a banner that says you are welcome, but their doctrine says it doesn't matter. If you are not of the elect, if you have not been predestinated by God from all eternity, it does not matter how often you, quote, go to church. Remember, the numbers of the saved and the lost have already been determined and are so certain they cannot be altered even by one. Why does this church advertise? Why should they bother spending any money on advertising? If you are of the elect, you are saved, regardless of what you do. The evangelistic efforts of those who believe in Reformed theology and Calvinism are an exercise in futility. their evangelism is useless. Fulton County Gospel News has spent over a year of editions addressing the foolish and hopeless doctrines of Reformed theology and Calvinism for a reason. These doctrines were systematized by John Calvin and other reformers in the 16th century and are still in somewhat of a state of evolution today. Those today who espouse the doctrines admit repeatedly that this doctrinal system originated with St. Augustine, who lived from A.D. 354 to 430. Historically, Churches of Christ have defined Calvinism with the acronym TULIP. While that is partly accurate, there is much more depth to this system. We must be sure that we completely understand the doctrine before we try to study it and combat it. As I wrote in the first article in this series, quote, "It is my prayer that what you read in this and the next few editions of Fulton County Gospel News will enlighten you on this subject and equip you with a knowledge of God's Word so that you can identify and overcome the foolish and wicked doctrines of Reformed theology and Calvinism. Original sin, sinful nature, a direct operation of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit must empower you to live the Christian life. I cannot help but sin. The Churches of Christ are hearing these things in their pulpits and classrooms, and they are the doctrines of Reformed theology and Calvinism. The God of the Bible is just and is no respecter of persons. David wrote, 'Righteousness and justice are the habitation of his throne,' Psalm 97:2. Predetermining the number of the saved and the lost is neither righteous nor justice. Jesus died for all. Anyone can be saved. Man has a choice in the salvation of his soul. Choose this day whom you will serve." Joshua 24:15. All right, so that is the end of that article, and like I said, the end of this particular series on these doctrines. Now, I want to address some things that are said. I think, again, I want to be fair. I don't want to misrepresent anybody. So I want to give you the reasons they evangelize. Now, again, we know what their founding documents teach, that the saved are saved, the lost are lost, and everything has been predetermined by God. So there's a brief article on the Ligonier website. Ligonier, basically, when you're reading those, reading from that website, you'd be reading men like R.C. Sproul, Stephen Lawson, and other, I guess what you would consider leading thinkers among Reformed theologians and Calvinists. So I found an article on that website about evangelism, 6 reasons why we should evangelize. Now, I want you to think about these reasons as you also understand that they say the saved are saved and the lost are lost, and those numbers are so certain that they cannot be altered by one. Okay? So their first reason for evangelism is God commands us to do so. All right, let's think about that for just a minute. So God from all eternity determined who would be saved and who would be lost, and those numbers are so certain that they cannot be increased or diminished even by one. That is what their documents teach. And yet, okay, so just think about this, all right? And yet, even though that is the case, God tells people to go out and to evangelize. Why? I mean, think about it. Okay, so for instance, let's think about their particular doctrine of unconditional election. All right, God has chosen the elect, and it's unconditional. And to save the elect, you have God's irresistible grace. In other words, if you are one of the eternally predetermined saved individuals, according to Reformed theology and Calvinism, God will work in you miraculously through the Holy Spirit, an act of irresistible grace. You are going to be saved, and that salvation is irresistible. Okay? If you're not saved, you're not going to get that grace. And yet, they say, well, we evangelize because God commands us to. Why would God command you to evangelize if God already knows and has already set who will be saved and who will be lost? That's why I titled that article, "Your Evangelism is Useless," because it is. All right, so number two, their second reason for evangelizing is we want to glorify God. All right, they say that same thing, or they say that, but at the same time, they also say that the people who are eternally predestined to go to hell and end up in hell, that glorifies God too. This is completely illogical. This makes no sense, and this makes God extremely inefficient. And I don't think we want to describe the God of heaven as inefficient. He's already predetermined everything. The saved are saved, the lost are lost, and yet he has people going out to evangelize. That is inefficient. That goes against the parsimony of God. Okay, the parsimony of God. So one of my instructors in school, he had this old saying of talking about God's economy and how God wouldn't basically waste his time or tell us to do things that are useless. He would say, God doesn't have to lick his calf twice. Okay, well, God's commanding us to do something that's useless in evangelism. And so how does that glorify him? All right, the third reason they say we want to please God, well, that's the same thing. That's repetitive. Please God, glorify God, same thing. Number four, we have a duty to God. Well, that's repetitive of number one. Number one is God commands us to. Well, if it's a command, it's a duty. Okay, so this is complete double talk. And a lot of Reformed theology, most of Reformed theology is just that. It's a lot of illogical double talk. Number five, he says we have a duty to our fellow sinners. It doesn't matter. Your duty doesn't matter, because if they are not of the elect, you can preach to them all day long, and guess what? They're going straight to hell. And unless God chooses them, which he won't now because he predetermined from all eternity that they're not going to heaven, that they're going straight to hell, evangelize all day long. They can hear the gospel. They're still going to hell. And that all glorifies God. Remember that. Remember that silly, foolish, hopeless point. All of this glorifies God. And then their final reason, sixth reason for evangelism, is we are grateful to God. Well, so what? You were predetermined to be grateful to God. So no, you aren't grateful for God. God predetermined that you would be grateful to God. Again, this is the double talk. Now, these 6 points, this comes from an article that was written by, let me see if I can find the name here real quick. The article was written by Joel Beek. Now, I've never read anything of his before, but the title of the article is John Calvin's 6 Reasons Why We Should Evangelize. Well, most of them overlap, and none of them make sense in view of what John Calvin actually taught. You know, the Word of God is pretty simple. Every man has a choice. You have freedom of will, freedom of choice. You have God's will that's been revealed, and that's why I was thankful for Tony Brewer's article on the on prayer and theological determinism, because Tony talks about, yes, God does have a will that is revealed and that he will not alter, and that's God's Word. You and I have access to the direct access to the mind of God because of the work of the Holy Spirit among various writers. That's 1 Corinthians 2 verses, well, basically all of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21, prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, we have all these passages that talk to us about the work of the Holy Spirit in the inspired scriptures. And those inspired scriptures tell us from beginning to end that man was made with a choice. Man has the ability to choose which way he will go. And if that's the case, if God through the Holy Spirit has revealed even to us today, 2,000 years after the first century Christians, that the gospel needs to be preached, that the believing one and the baptized one will be saved and the one who does not believe will be condemned, that's choice. So maybe we should be evangelizing because there are certain people who are lost who perhaps if they hear the gospel, they will be saved. They will hear the gospel. And it's just like in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, that God would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Well, that's possible because we can hear the truth, and it's the Word of God that produces faith. Again, not a miraculous inner working of the Holy Spirit. You will find that nowhere in Scripture. That idea of this irresistible grace, that God is irresistibly going to cause you to be a benefactor of His grace, it's not in Scripture. But what is in Scripture is you can hear the gospel, and faith is produced by hearing, and you can obey the gospel. So think about this. I'm getting my Bible out here, and I'm turning to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11. That's like a Reformed theologian's playground. They love those chapters. In fact, they love the book of Romans. You don't hear much outside of Romans from Reformed theologians. And I'll tell you this, again, the leading thinkers of Reformed theology and Calvinism repeatedly admit that this doctrinal system began with Augustine, about 300 years after the first century. So, you know, just listen to what they say. But anyway, they love the book of Romans and they abuse it terribly. But listen to what Paul writes here in Romans chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. He says, I tell the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit, that I have a great sorrow and continual grief in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen according to the flesh. Okay? Well, we know that we cannot, it's not possible to send yourself to hell to save an entire nation of people. That's not how it works. Each person is responsible for his or her own response to the gospel. Here's the problem that Paul was having with his own countrymen according to the flesh, with the Jewish people. It's in Romans chapter 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Well, the question is, well, how does one become righteous? Romans 1 answers that. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Did you hear that? The righteousness of God, how to be right with God, is revealed in the gospel. And the Jews were ignorant of that. They were willfully ignorant of that. I mean, we see that throughout the gospel accounts with Jesus constantly being rejected. We see that in the book of Acts, and I referenced in the article, Acts chapter 13, where Paul was in Antioch preaching, and he was rejected. In fact, there in Acts 13, remember in verse 46, it says, you judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. If Calvinism were true, why did Paul say that? I mean, Paul's speaking by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Why didn't he say, it's not that you judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, it's that God's predetermined that you're going to hell. God predetermined that you would not accept the gospel. It's not what Paul said. And that's not what he writes here in the book of Romans. Every man has a choice. Now, again, you go back and you look at those 5 points. TULIP, total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and the preservation of the saints. I know a lot of folks talk about perseverance, but your true Reformed theologians and Calvinists will say, well, that's, if you talk about perseverance, well, that depends on mankind, and man can't do anything. So we believe in preservation of the saints. It's all God. It has nothing to do with man. When you hear those 5 points, remember the title of this article. Your evangelism is useless. I don't know that there is a much more convoluted and hopeless and unjust doctrine than the Reformed doctrines, because it's all settled. It's all been settled. It has all always been settled from all eternity. So you don't have to obey the Great Commission. And again, I know that the Reformed theologians will, they'll dance around it and they'll beat around the bush and why they do it. You know, well, we want to please God and glorify God and He tells us to, but that's just a bunch, they're just blowing smoke. That's all it is. There is no explanation for evangelism. There is no justification for the Great Commission. God's determined it all. The saved are going to heaven. The lost are going to hell. End of story. And if that's true, I mean, think about it like this. If that's true, how do you know that you're one of the saved? Because, again, they say, well, it's the sovereign will of God. We just have to leave it up to His sovereignty. Then you can't know if you're saved or lost, because it's the sovereign will of God. They say, well, saved people do the right things. Well, there are lost people who can do the things that are recorded in the Bible. You cannot know. That's why I've repeatedly throughout this series of articles talked about the hopelessness of Calvinism. You can't know because it's God's sovereign will. So I'll close like this. Think about it like this. It's all predetermined. The end has already been decided. The means don't matter. Okay? It's fatalism. It's determinism. That's all it is. The end is determined. The means don't matter. All right? So if you think about it like that, think about it also like this. If you're not a Calvinist, I'm not a Calvinist. If God has predetermined me to be saved, to be one of His elect, then He has also predetermined me to become a Calvinist, to become a Reformed theologian. So why even study the Bible at all? If God's predetermined it, let Him act in His own time, because I can't do anything about it. Nobody evangelizing me can do anything about it. If I'm predetermined to be a Calvinist, to be one of the saved, God's going to work that out. I have nothing to worry about. I'll just go on. It's kind of like the Bible says in a couple of places, eat, drink, and be merry. Some people live that way. But hey, if they're one of the elect, God will work it out. Your evangelism's useless. All right, that's enough. So I appreciate you tuning in today to the Fulton County Gospel News Podcast. Again, if you'd like to get the paper, visit our website, mammothspringchurchofchrist.com. Get a hold of us. We'll be happy to add you to that mail list. And of course, a subscription is always free. Follow us on Facebook, Church of Christ at Mammoth Spring, Fulton County Gospel News Podcast. Go to podbean.com and subscribe to the podcast, Fulton County Gospel News. And of course, everything we do is also uploaded on YouTube. We have videos, and this podcast is also on YouTube as well. So go to YouTube and search for Mammoth Spring Church of Christ. All right, I appreciate you listening today, and I will catch you on the next episode of the Fulton County Gospel News Podcast.